Good morning, Lee.
Howdy there, Tara.
Will South Carolina eventually become a purple state?
Good question.
Yes. There's a good reason to be asking it this morning, and yep. I used to say this when I was on the air out on the coast.
Right, yeah.
Katie Arrington lost last night.
Yeah, by about 4,000 votes.
To a Democrat.
Yes, to a Democrat.
Joe Cunningham. That's in the first congressional district. This was a shocker. I mean, Katie Arrington was assumed to be a shoo-in. Well, that's Mark Sanford's district that he had been in before. Well, no, and let me explain how this happened, because I actually know the demographics out there real well. If you look at the first district, it takes in Charleston and a lot of the areas around Charleston on the coast. And if you look at where the moving vans have been going in this state, the number one destination is Charleston. And Charleston has been becoming more and more and more and more moderate. In fact, it has gone purple in several of the races, mixing up votes for, just by the county, Democrats and Republicans with a mixed slate there. And so the area around Charleston is seeing an influx of a lot of Houston kind of folks, Portland kind of folks, folks of sort of that mentality moving there. There's a lot of young people moving there, and you could see it inching to purple as the numbers grow. I mean, Charleston... the couple years ago, what was it, been 2 years now, Greenville, fourth fast-growing mid-sized metro in the entire country. Charleston is growing slightly faster than we are. And the difference in, what you're seeing in Charleston is that it's a very blue tenor of what's, what is moving there. And the folks that have long lived there, the blue bloods, tend to vacillate back and forth anyway. And so I'm not surprised that we're seeing a shift from red to blue there. I'm just surprised it happened this quickly.
Yeah, I share in that opinion. And the reason I was concerned about that seat, because on the last days of the campaign, Democrats were acting very confident about that. So they obviously had the numbers there. They had obviously done the polling. And so I was afraid that this is something that might happen. And obviously, when you've got an open seat, anything can happen. And Mark Sanford, quite honestly, I think was really... a very different candidate, because he would do things sometimes that would be extremely right wing, and then he would do things sometimes that'd be extremely to the left, and quite honestly, play right into the hands of Democrats. He was this way as governor as well. He was not a consistent conservative, as many had hoped he would have been. I won't go into the whole Appalachian Trail thing, but anyway, yeah, I was a little bit nervous about that race and just very disappointed, because I think Arrington would have done a great job, but a great addition to the South Carolina delegation. It would have been nice to see a Republican woman in Congress from South Carolina.
Yes, absolutely. And basically, I think we're going to continue to see this moving forward. I think we're going to see Charleston gradually transition to permanently purple and then probably blue.
Yeah.
I think that's the direction it's been headed in a long time and demographically. And we saw that last night with kind of the shock loss of Katie Arrington. We're going to be sending a mixed coalition to Congress. Before, it was a couple of districts that were largely African-American, the way it was drawn, that's what you would get. You got Jim Clyburn, but this is a legitimate flip in the state. And I'm telling you, the demographics here are changing.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised. This is what happens with successful and prosperous communities. Other people want to get involved and get in on the act. And sadly, many times this does to the chagrin of many of us, lifelong South Carolinians attract folks who do not share the same political beliefs and opinions and ideals that we have.
Yeah, well, and what happens is that when liberals live in places with liberal policies, they quickly find they can't afford to live in those places because they become unaffordable for the average middle class person.
And they come down here and ruin ours.
Yeah, and they want to come somewhere where they can afford to live, but that is perceived to have, a sort of atmosphere like in Austin or a Portland. And Charleston has gotten the reputation of having that atmosphere. So they come here and then they want to change to all the liberal policies that wrecked the place they were at. They're sort of like a virus that spreads. And so they wreck the place they are. And then eventually when they wreck Charleston, they'll leave there and go somewhere else.
Exactly.
And never understanding how all of this has happened.
Like the locust plague.
Yes.
It just moves on.
Texter writes, Katie Arrington lost because she didn't cheat on her spouse. They like that kind of thing in District 1. No,
ouch.
I mean, when you saw Mark Sanford is still an astute politician.
Yes.
And when you saw him anti-Trump, he was doing that for a reason. He had read that district correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And... you're seeing now that actually made sense.
Well, but I respect Arrington, because she seems to be, although she's not a dyed-the-wool conservative, she seemed to be someone who really lived out her ideals and her beliefs.
Yeah.
And that's what I admire. And, you know, okay, we may have some political differences here and there, but I'd much prefer someone of that type of character to be representing the state of South Carolina and D.C.
Did you see this? Stunning wins for DeSantis and Scott in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Rick Scott and Ron DeSantis.
That's very important.
Now, this is, I can't tell you how important and how huge this is trend-wise. Trafalgar last night was doing the exit polling there and found that Rick Scott and Ron DeSantis won, respectively, 14 and 15% of the black vote. That is a statewide Republican national record. That has never happened before. The best that anybody has ever done statewide was George W. Bush. He got 12% of the black vote in Ohio. This is new. And so are Trump's approval ratings among black folks, according to Rasmussen. So literally black people fleeing Blexit, if you will. Mm-hmm. The Democrat Party handed the governorship to Ron DeSantis and that Senate seat to Rick Scott. It is stunning.
Go figure.
It's stunning. So, you know, when you look at this year, if you don't follow politics, you think, well, that's only like 14, 15% of the black vote. No, that's huge.
Yes.
Trump won 6% of the black vote in Florida in 2016. He has more than doubled what he did in just 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if that pace continues from the Candace Owens, you know, what Kanye West has done, all of that kind of stuff, I can't wait to see what it looks like in 2016. I mean, I can't tell you how important that governorship was.
Yeah.
Because again, you know, Rick Scott, when he was governor, he was a Republican, kept those voter rolls clean. He did. He kept the dead people off of them. He kept the illegal immigrants off of them. They were some of the cleanest voter rolls in the entire country, spent a lot of time in court doing it. And that is the only reason that we continue to be able to carry Florida, because we don't have the 100,000 voter fraud margin that you have in a Pennsylvania, which the Secretary of State was kicked out of office for.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, and it's razor thin there anyway. It was going to be critical for DeSantis to win and to continue to keep those only voters on the voting rolls.
Yeah.
And black people handed that, black voters handed that to them yesterday.
Yeah.
And that trend continues. That's real good for us.
With a black Democrat male that was running for governor.
Yes. Yeah. And I can't wait to see what the exit polling for black voters look like in other states. But I have a feeling if, as you said, with Gilliam on the ballot, a young, attractive black man, very much in the mold of Obama.
Yeah.
And yet that happened in Florida. What did it look like in other states? And did black voters save us folks, us individual liberty folks? Did they save our rear end? Because it's sure looking like they did in Florida. And I wonder if it happened around the rest of the country, that there is an awakening going on here that really bodes well for this country.
I certainly hope so.
And people say, bodes well, Terry. What are you talking about? You lost a House of Representatives. No, it would have been a massacre without that.
Yeah. And it's also interesting, even the AP analysis that I've been reading, that really, and I'm not trying to make excuses here, but some of the House races that were lost, many of them were suburban areas that voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016.
Yes.
So these are not Trump losses. These were already lost anyway. And these were these are areas where, you know, Trump won in spite of these areas. And these were areas that were going to go Democrat anyway. And there was very little question about it. And, you know, that's what happens. They needed 23. Apparently, they got 26.
Texter writes, expect the House of Representatives to be busier than we've seen in quite some time. They have a lot of investigating and obstruction to accomplish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, now there's going to be a new resistance team, and it should be House Republicans.
Yeah, but you know, you said something in the last hour, though, Lee, about, you know, will Republicans go along with the Democrats? The problem in the House of Representatives, yeah, we'll stop the zany stuff the Democrats want to do in the Senate. But here's the problem. Legislation originates in the House of Representatives.
Well, yeah.
Our budgets,
tax, yes, budgets
will
and
originate.
Tax money things, yeah, originate
yeah.
there. Yeah.
So that's, Democrats put together a cuckoo budget, right?
Right.
And we're faced with the wonderful choice of shutting down the government and getting blamed for it.
Shut it down.
Or passing that stuff.
Shut it down and
that's
blame
where we are right
Nancy
now.
Pelosi. That's
yep.
exactly the strategy. This should all, and I mean, I'm talking about right now they should be working on this. Republicans should be getting together, caucusing, working on this, put out their own budget. Get with the president, get a budget together, get Mitch McConnell on board with it, and get a budget ready to go that will continue the things that the American people voted for President Trump to do. then let Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats put together their defense-cutting, high-tax, re-regulating, and all the other mess that they want to put together, and let her be responsible for that. And when she's Speaker, let her be the one that shuts down the government. Get on top of this. Go on offense right now, today. Do not hesitate. That's what they ought to be doing.
They could go ahead and pass a budget right now if they would like for next
year.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
In fact, we still got 6 weeks if we would like to secure the borders and save the country from our sovereignty and our invasion. They'll probably sit around and do nothing.
Shut it down and hang it around Nancy's neck right now.
Texter writes, only good thing about losing the House was 50 never-Trumping Republicans and RINOs retired or were ousted during the election. Yeah, that is good. Gives Republicans a good starting point. Look, you think you're feeling sore this morning? Listen to the mainstream media. They'll tell you who they think won last night.
But at the end of the day, Donald Trump and his followers are still intact.
It's heartbreaking. It's not a blue wave, but it's still a blue war.
Yeah. So there you go. They feel like they lost. They were expecting a blue wave. There should have been one. There would have been one if not for Trump. Republicans were ready, willing, able, wanted to roll over and die again. You don't believe me? Remember this? Jim Jordan, who wanted to be Speaker, now no GOP will, talking about the problem with the Republican leadership's strategy in this election. Remember what it is?
Well, the key to turnout is to run with the president of the United States. The key to turnout is to talk about the things he's done and the things we want to help him get done to make America great again and to fulfill the promises we made to the voters when they gave us the privilege to serve. This idea that we're going to run individual races and run away from the president is just flat out wrong. I think we nationalize this election as much as possible in as many districts as we can. Frankly, I think it's the best course of action in the vast majority of Republican districts around the country.
He just told you what the leadership strategy was. Not Trump, but the leadership. Do you remember the argument they had in the New York Times with Paul Ryan and the Republican bosses all wanting to run on tax cuts and ignore immigration? You remember that? Good thing Trump didn't listen to him. Again, keep in mind, Trump did this without the help of the Republican leadership. They have done nothing in a year. They've done nothing since tax cuts. They are do nothing. Limp-wristed, he had to drag them across the finish line, kicking and screaming in protest, and he did it. Were it not for Trump, you could be thankful for this morning, it would have been a landslide for the Democrats yesterday. It would have been. It should have been. Historically, it always is. Listen to this. This is yesterday. Kayleigh McEnany with the RNC, talking about how the strategy we have, how the scenario we have this morning with the Senate controlled by Republicans and a Republican gain of at least 3 seats, even with the loss of the House, is historic and historically good for Trump. Take a listen.
There is a reasonable chance that the Republicans lose the House, but there still could be, that could still be considered a success. Do you think under 30 seats would be considered a success and still lose the House?
No doubt, especially when you consider the fact that only 4 times has the party holding the White House gained seats in the Senate during the president's first midterms. We are going to gain seats. So President Trump has already made history should we gain seats in the Senate. You're right to say, should we lose the House narrowly, a few seats?
That's still a victory in some ways.
It's a victory. The average loss is 32 seats when you go back to 1832. So, if we lose marginally and gain in the Senate, that's history, and that's President Trump.
Yes. So gaining in the Senate's only happened 4 times. Obama lost 60 seats in his first midterm, basically this same one. So Trump outperforming Obama. And this was good. This was almost as good as you could hope for. I think we could have won it if the GOP had been on board. I mean, we could have passed another tax cut in the last year. We could have fixed our borders. And that, folks, that's the devastating thing about this. We may not control the House, the Senate, and the presidency for a generation. It's going to be a long time. We've basically got 6 weeks left to secure our borders and remove the magnets that bring illegals here. The best thing they could do is E-verified, make it impossible for illegals to work here and for those that employ them to continue to do it. They have done nothing for a year. They've frittered away the chance we had to secure our borders. That is gone if they don't do it by January. I mean, they could address birthright citizenship. They could do all of that. But they won't. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they will. I doubt it. Paul Ryan won't let that happen. And we've frittered that chance away. By the way, the deep state's off the chain now. Totally off the chain. All of the subpoenas where you at least had Republicans seeking this information and ever so slowly getting it, that's over. Adam Schiff's going to take over the Intel Committee, and the FBI will not only get away with it, we are going to see them, mark my words, transition to operating as the House organ, the secret police of the Democrat Party. They're free. They're done. They got away with it. It's over. No one's going to hold them accountable. Nobody's going to watch them. And they still haven't complied with over 30 subpoenas from the House of Representatives, including the most devastating one, in my opinion. The names of the dozens of FBI agents who worked on that fraudulent FISA warrant. They're still there. They're still embedded. They're still in the deep state. And I think we're going to begin to see the continuation of things like Hillary was doing. They get the intel on close races. They monkey around in the 2020 election. All that is coming. Nobody is going to oversee that. They are free to do as they wish. And if history is any predictor of the future, you're not going to like what they do. They are a weaponized, politicized agency that is now operating with zero oversight and the complete encouragement of the Democrat Party for lawlessness. They got away with it, folks. They got away with it. Nobody will hold them accountable. They answer to nobody until we take the House of Representatives back. Nobody. Nobody. What does it all mean? Here to break it down is South Carolina Republican strategist RJ May. Good morning, RJ.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. All right. Give me the good news. Is there good news? What's the good news? Let's start with that.
Absolutely. I think last night was a pretty good night for the president. I mean, obviously we lost the House, but only by a little bit so far. I mean, as of this morning, the current breakdown in the House is 219 to 193, which leaves, 22 seats in play as of right now. The Dems flipped 26 seats, but most of those were districts in which Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump. So of those 25 seats where that happened 2 years ago, Clinton, Dems have won 14 of them and Republicans have only held three. So overall, I think it's a good night. We grew a majority in the Senate. If there's going to be one house I want to lose, it's going to be the House. I mean, with growing our majority in the Senate, we're able to confirm trade deals and treaties and nominees to federal courts. President Trump will be able to get the cabinet he wants. Now, obviously, there's a couple seats out there still close to the call. Arizona, Montana, those are all still a little tight. There's going to be a runoff in Mississippi, but that's not to worry about the way they do their elections there. There was two Republicans running and one Democrat. If you add up the Republican votes, they're up 20 points. So this is just a election in name only, really. But Arizona and Montana are still out there. So at the end of the day, we could see 55 seats for Republicans, particularly picking up Florida with Rick Scott and Ron DeSantis beating Gillum over there for governor. So I think it was a great night for the president. He's going to be able to get his picks on the court. He's going to be able to get his picks for his cabinet. Now, of course, in the House, with them taking over, we could face Speaker Pelosi and Committee Chairman Maxine Waters and investigation after investigation. There's even talk about impeachment, but Democrats need to be careful because that could backfire on them on 2020.
You know, RJ, you make a great point. Two things that we have really documented that President Trump has done to really help this economy. Number one, of course, is the tax cuts. But number two is the trade deals. The NAFTA trade deal, you're right, that would just go through the Senate. And any trade deals that he works out with any other countries as well. So that trade portion of his agenda can still go through Congress. I hadn't thought of it that way. So that's great news.
And, a couple months ago, even though the Republicans held the Senate, it was in question because, you had Jeff Flake and John McCain and a couple others who would deflect every now and then and make it hard for the president's agenda to go through. But, with this new majority in the Senate or growing majority in the Senate, I think he'll be able to get some things done that he hasn't been able to here as we move forward. But there are a couple surprises.
And I want to get to that. Let me ask you this, because I did radio out on the coast for many years, both in Charleston and Myrtle Beach, and I had been predicting the flip of Charleston eventually, that area to blue, and it was reliably purple. And a lot of folks think of this as a red state now. And I've said for a long time, we're eventually going to be in a purple state just because of the vast amount of people moving to Charleston, one of the top destinations to move to in the entire nation. Did we see the beginning of that flip yesterday? I was shocked to see Katie Arrington lost. I thought that district would eventually go blue, but I thought it would take, you know, another decade. What do you think, RJ? Yeah.
No, I don't think it's going to stay in Joe Cunningham's hands long. I think that was a one-off in 2020. It'll flip back red. I wouldn't be surprised if Mark Sanford ran again in 2020. But I think one of the reasons that Joe Cunningham took that race is because of Mark Sanford. You know, as of October 30th, he would not endorse Katie Arrington. So I think it was hard for the Republican base to coalesce behind Katie with you know, half the party split between her and Mark Sanford, and Mark Sanford failing to.
But RJ,
to really get
now, well, hold on. Katie Arrington was so popular, nationally popular. I mean, people loved her. People don't like Sanford. I don't think they care what he thinks. He lost the primary. You know what I mean? Are you sure this district isn't migrating to purple?
No, I don't think it is. Not yet.
Okay.
Like I said, in 2020, I think it goes back. I mean, if you break down all the state house seats here for South Carolina, it's still an overwhelming amount of Republicans voting. You know, there were a couple that flipped in that area, like Samuel Rivers' seats. He lost to J.A. Moore. But for the most part, Republicans held their own in the state races, you know, the governor's race and Attorney General and on down the ballot.
Okay, that's just weird to me. I don't know. I think that's a weird one. We'll see. We'll keep our eye on it. What's your overall takeaway going into 2020 as far as how we're set up now, RJ, in the country as a Republican strategist? What do you see? How do you see all of this affecting 2020?
Well, I think we're in an entirely new electoral dynamic with President Trump. He has changed the landscape. And I think Republicans are set up well. I mean, you take a look at the seats, the states that President Trump won that ended up getting him to, 306 electoral votes. I think we're poised to see that again, particularly with a surprising pickup in Montana. I didn't think soon to be probably pick up in Montana. Yeah. I didn't think John Tester was going to go down. We've solidified in North Dakota with getting rid of Heidi Heitkamp. Races in Michigan were a little closer than everybody had thought they were going to be. So I think it sets us up well for another four more years of President Trump and another four more years of prosperity.
You know, I couldn't help but wonder, RJ, this was in the back of my mind over the last week, right? That, okay, let's suppose we would like to keep the House and get our Republican agenda through. But if you go into 2020 with all Republican control, I mean, you're going to get a public weary of Republican control. You're going to get Republicans less energized. In a weird way, going into 2020, do you think the House being Democrat hands helps Trump in some ways?
Yes, absolutely. So if the Democrats overplay their hands in the House and push for impeachment and investigation after investigation and block, you know, common sense reforms and good government initiatives that will put more money in the pockets of hardworking Americans, that could definitely backfire. I wouldn't be surprised if President Trump can rally his base and he can get them out to the polls. So when 2020 comes and he starts railing on Democrats for blocking good reforms in the House, I think it helps Republicans. They'll overplay their hand as they always do. And I think we see another, four more years of President Trump.
Another thing, too, along with that, RJ, I mean, Republicans won the state that Trump must win as far as governor's races go to set himself up for 2020. I mean, we won Ohio, Florida, Iowa, Georgia. The only one that hurts, of course, is Scott Walker in Wisconsin. That was painful. So, I mean, he really set the map up nicely, or you know, tell me if I'm wrong, for 2020 in that way.
No, absolutely. And the reason that Ron DeSantis is governor is purely because of Trump. I think that's a Trump victory.
Yeah.
100%. I think Scott, though, carried his own because Scott did a great job as governor in Florida. But Ron DeSantis, he's not the most energetic guy, definitely not as energetic as Andrew Gillum. And Trump going down there a couple times and rallying for him is obviously the difference there. Trump can turn out his base. So, yeah, he set up Florida. Florida's still red. Georgia's still red, even though Stacey Abrams won't concede yet. North Dakota, South Dakota, I mean, Wyoming, Arizona, they're all red. Ohio, Indiana, flipped that seat. So the map is there. The path to victory is there. Democrats will overplay their hand here with all these investigations and I think 2020 sets up well for Republicans to take control back of the House, the White House, and keep the Senate.
I hope so, RJ May. I remain optimistic about that. Republican strategist, thank you so much for joining us this morning on 106.3 WORD. Well, Senator Rick Scott said it best. Yep, Fox calling the Florida Senate race for him.
Socialism will not happen in our nation, and it's not going to happen under my watch. I didn't go to Tallahassee 8 years ago to be everybody's friend. I'm not going to D.C. to win a popularity contest. I'm going to D.C. to get something done.
Yep. Texter writes, in Clinton's first term, he lost 50-some in the midterms. Obama's first presidency, he lost 60-some in the first midterms. How many did we lose? 20 or 24-ish? Well, we don't know yet exactly. Some of those still being called. Trump did very well last night. Again, only four times in history has the party that controls the presidency gained seats in the Senate in the midterm. What Trump did was incredibly tough last night, folks. It was very, very difficult to do. And you have to understand, he did it by himself. Nobody else was on the campaign trail with him. In their own districts, they were. There was no GOP leadership backing him when the Democrats slung arrows at him. By himself, he fought. The Republicans, if this had been up to them and had been a regular year, they would have put out polite press releases about the tax cuts and gotten stomped into the ground. Listen, there was, when you talk about what happened last night, let me tell you what you're going to end up seeing in these exit polls. We don't have them yet as they break this down, but I'm going to tell you what I think happened last night. There was a blue wave. It was large. But an amazing thing has happened on our side of the aisle. We were a shrinking party until 2016. And Trump has grown this party exponentially among millennials, particularly among millennial men, among African Americans. And we now have the numbers to counter a wave. We did not have that 3 years ago. They would have buried us. Don't forget, Trump lost the popular vote. But he won where it counted in the electoral states. And again, I can't repeat this stat enough this morning because it says everything. There are demographic changes that are happening in this country right now that are under the radar that we have not seen before in this country. And if they continue, I'm telling you, the electorate in the map is going to look very different in 2020. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I've said this in every hour because you need to know it. Ron DeSantis is the governor of Florida, and Rick Scott is the new senator from Florida, dispatching a longtime Democrat senator. Why? Black voters. Blexit. Voting with us. Trump won 6% of the black vote in Florida, according to exit polling by the Trafalgar Group, and we'll see what the final total is. But right now, according to exit polling, DeSantis and Scott won 14 and 15% of the black vote, respectively. That is a Republican record, historical record in a statewide race. The best ever done was done in Ohio by Bush at 12%. We've never seen this before. If the Democrat portion of the black vote dips below 85%, they are FUBAR'd. So when you look at what Trump has done with the black vote in 2 years, where will we be in two more years? Ponder that. Some good demographic changes. Folks, this party was shrinking in numbers, not growing, when we went into 2015 and 2016. He is growing the party in ways we can't even see till the 2020 vote. We can counter them now. We couldn't before. That's good news.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.